to think about the mark. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you might like to turn to the second reading that we had tonight from Mark chapter 12. I think it's on page 1081 in your Bibles. 1408. 1081. So, a passage from Mark that we had. It's a passage that's actually very familiar to us, isn't it? And I think it's a passage that because it's so familiar, we often gloss over it. Because on first reading, it seems fairly obvious what it means. But if we really think about it, then actually this is quite a challenging piece of scripture. And it takes place in the temple courts. So Jesus has been teaching, and the religious leaders around there have been testing him with various questions. In the previous chapter, we've had about paying taxes to Caesar and all sorts of things. So at the point we come to, there's a crowd around, and the teacher of the law has been listening to all that's going on. And he's worked out that Jesus has given some pretty good answers to the questions. Therefore, he decides to ask him a question of his own. So he says, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And to us, that probably seems quite a strange question to ask. When we think about commandments, we actually think about the Ten Commandments. And we probably think, well, they come in a sort of order, so we know that loving God is the most important one. So why would the teacher of the law ask that question of him? Well, it wasn't the case in that time. Scholars say that there were actually 613 commandments, of which, let me have a look, of which 365 were negative and 248 were positive. And there was also debate about which were major laws and minor laws, or which were heavy laws and light laws. And so, in relation to that, it's probably not quite as strange a question as we might think. In Psalm 15, David reduced those 613 commands to 11, and in Micah, he reduced them to a lot less than that, to two. I'll just read the Micah passage for you. It's Micah 6, verse 8. It says, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, or the fruit of my body for the sin of the soul?" Then we have what he reduced them to. He says, "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So he managed to reduce those to just three of them. But still, we come back to the question that he asked. Which is the greatest commandment? Which was the most important commandment there? And Jesus answers him by citing two commandments from the Old Testament and putting them together. So in verse 29 he says, "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourselves. There is no commandment greater than these." So the first part that he quotes is from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 5. And it's actually known as the Shema. I'm not quite sure whether that's how you pronounce it, because my Hebrew isn't very good. But it comes from the first word of the sentence, which is "hear." That's what the word means. The Shema means to hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And that statement forms the basic creed of Judaism. It was recited by Jews every morning and every evening. And still today, those are the opening words of every service in a synagogue. It is the most important thing that happens there. And it's what they wrote on. When you read the Old Testament, it talks about writing on the doorpost. That's what was written on the doorpost. That's what was on the sanctuary. That's what they were. So that verse would be really important. So the people around would have gone, yeah, we know that. Great. But actually, let's think about it a little bit more. Look at verse 30. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. All heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if we really think about that, it's massive. It means it demands absolutely everything from us. All our heart. It means that our love for God needs to be greater than our love for anything or anyone else. And it should be so great that our love for other people seems like hatred in comparison to our love for God. And that's what Jesus meant in Luke 14:26 when he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now, he's not literally telling us to hate our family, because that would be contrary to what the Bible teaches in another place. But rather what he's saying is that our love for God should be so great, so all-consuming, that love for anyone else or anything else is nothing compared to our love for God. So do we really love God with all our heart? Not only are we told to love God with all our heart, but we're told to love him with all our soul. Our soul, our personality, the who we are, the what makes us what we are. Whether we're outgoing or introverted, loud or quiet, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that we love God with all our personality, with all our soul. We dedicate our whole selves to him. He created us as we are, with different personalities. And so by asking us to love God with all our soul, it actually means allowing him to use us as he created us to be. That God's in all we do and all we are. And along with loving God with all our heart and all our soul, we need to love him, he says, with all our mind. So that means we need to be studying God's word, spending time, understanding what he's saying to us, filling our minds with the things of God rather than other things, which is so easy to do. I don't know about you, but how often do we set off with good intentions only to be sidetracked? So, especially when you're doing internet research, you set off with all the good intentions of finding that bit, and then suddenly you click on that, and something else, and something else. Or you're shopping, you're going for one thing at Sainsbury's, and you end up with a massive lot of other things that distracted you along the way. We're not very good at staying focused all the time. And the same thing happens when we study God's word, or take part in a Bible study group, or even listen to a sermon. Our minds can be elsewhere, drifting, thinking of all sorts of other things that we need to do or be doing. It's hard for us to focus our mind on one thing for a sustained period of time. And yet, that's what God's commanding us to do here. To love God with all our mind, not to wander. So we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and finally, with all our strength. And that's something I've thought about this week. I think I tend to gloss over this verse. Or what does it mean, all our strength? When do I actually use all my strength to do something? Well, probably not that often. When do we need to use all our physical strength? Opening jars I find really difficult. That seems really hard, especially when the tool doesn't work. Lifting shavings, feeding bags, that takes a lot of effort, lots of yard jobs. And some of those jobs are really physically demanding. It's talking about using all our strength so that we're drained of that strength. We put all the effort into doing whatever it is we're needing to do. And it's that type of strength that God's asking us to do. To love him with all our strength. To put in effort into it. Not just something that's easy. It's supposed to be hard work. We're supposed to put the work, the time, the effort in. That's what he's talking about, to love with all our strength. And we sometimes have it easy here, but when you think about some of our brothers and sisters in other countries who are persecuted for their faith, they really have to be strong. They really have to be determined. It's easy for us to come to church, even if it means we're coming in the car, we're walking around the corner. But for some of those people, it's not easy. It's very, very demanding and very dangerous. It's taking all their strength to get there and to continue to be Christians. And we're asked to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. He's asking us to love him completely, totally, utterly. Because he alone is God and he's made a covenant of love with his people. And therefore, he expects his people to give themselves to him totally. But that wasn't the end of the answer that Jesus gave to the question, which is the most important commandment? To more fully answer the question, Jesus added in a second piece of scripture, which is from Leviticus 19:18. It says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against any one of your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord your God." It's that second part of that he quotes. "There is no commandment greater than these. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. The second is love your neighbour as yourself." If we're truly loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, then we'll want to obey his commands. It will be a natural desire that flows from our love to God. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will obey what I have commanded you." It doesn't say, obey the commands and then I'll love you. It says, if you love me, if you've given your heart, mind, soul, body, strength, then you will want to do what I say. When you're in a close, loving relationship, you will want to do the right thing. And I think it's important that that piece comes first before love your neighbour. Because if we try to love our neighbour in our own strength, then we're likely to fail. But if our love for our neighbour flows from our love for God, then we're more likely to succeed. And our neighbour isn't just the person or people that we're neighbourly with, but actually it's everyone whom we come into contact with. One commentary that I read this week says, "Our neighbour embraces all within our home, those we meet at work, in our church and in recreations. And more than that, our employer is our neighbour too. So are our work people, all who serve us in shops, the men who empty our dustbins and those who try to keep our streets and parks clean. So too are the people of Jamaica, West Africa, Kenya, Russia, Germany. If we love our neighbours as ourselves, we shall want for them the treatment that we should want for ourselves, were we in their place." In the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, the expert of the law quotes the same commandment that Jesus used to answer the teacher of the law. He then tests Jesus further by asking him to define who his neighbour is. And the parable Jesus uses to answer that question clearly shows that our neighbour could be anyone that we come into contact with that has a need. It's not always going to be someone we like or we want to associate with. It could be someone that really doesn't like us. And yet we're called to be a neighbour to them and love them as we love ourselves. Many schools talk about this as being the golden rule and interpret it somewhere along the lines of, if you don't want it done to you, then don't do it to anybody else. And yeah, there's something to that, but it's more than that. And Jesus put these two commandments together for a good reason. Because we can't do one without doing the other. We can't love our neighbours as ourselves if we don't love God first. And if we really love God completely, then we will be compelled to love our neighbour, as that will naturally flow from our love for God. And there are many places in the Bible where we're told to love each other. Romans 13 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Galatians says, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbour as yourself. 1 John 3 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers or sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So if we truly follow both these commands, then actually we'll be following all the commands in Scripture. By actively and completely loving God and loving our neighbour, then we'll be seen to be different. Our neighbours, in the broadest sense of that word, will see that there's something different about us as the love of God flows from us to them. It will compel us to want to be involved in evangelism. We'll be quick to forgive. We'll be able to help those in need without seeking a reward. We'll bear with others' burdens, and we will put the needs of others before our own and generously give of ourselves to them. If you look at the teacher's response, he readily agreed with Jesus that these were the most two important commandments. He says, well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And it's not surprising that his comment reflects some of those Old Testament prophets. Samuel says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. And Isaiah says, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God, rather than burnt offerings. So when we're loving one another, we are offering a pleasing sacrifice to God. So the question really is do we? Do we really know that the Lord our God, the Lord is one? Do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength? And do we love our neighbours as ourselves? So as we go into next week, I'd urge you to reflect on those verses and to ask God to help us in any aspect of them that we find difficult to do. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the immeasurable and incomprehensible love that you have for us. Help us to love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Amen.